Live from the Shangri-La of South County.
Coming to you from Rust and Tustin.
In the morning, Nathan Penetration.
In the morning, Brian Black.
Holy shit. I wonder if this beer's any good. Why did it pop like that?
What'd you get?
Shiner Bock. I don't have any more beer in my fridge. I left it at somebody's house. At the LAN party, actually.
Gotta restock that.
Nah.
I am drinking a, unfortunately, Lightstruck Stella.
Oh, man.
I don't know what it is, but every time, well, not every time. It's probably every 3 times I buy these 22-ounce Stellas from 7-Eleven. They're fucking Lightstruck. And I know it's Lightstruck because I could have another Stella and tell the difference.
Yeah, there's a big difference. It releases the light, releases the riboflavins, which can give it a skunky flavor or make it even taste stale.
The funny thing about that skunky flavor and Lightstruck beers is that I've noticed that shitty quality beers, it makes taste better when that happens. And good quality beers, it makes them taste like shit. Stella is a good quality beer, and this tastes worse than Budweiser. You know, I mean, Budweiser's not terrible, but it's drinkable, but it's nothing special.
Corona?
That's what this tastes like.
Corona's good.
Helped. Yeah, that's why it's clear. Well, and that's why you put a lime with it, too. The skunkiness goes well with the lime.
But, I got a surprise for you.
Okay.
Well, it will surprise you. It's not really for you. You know Battlegrounds? Player Unknown Battlegrounds?
The game, yeah.
Yeah, PUBG.
Uh-huh.
I got this weird message from a friend of the show, Qua. He was on the Wide Open podcast. The one and only episode of the Wide Open podcast, the photography podcast that we did. I got this thing, just like weird characters from him, and he said, "Welcome to the team." So it looked like a serial number, so I copied it and I opened up Steam and I hit add non-Steam game and I pasted it, and as soon as I hit next, it instantly registered that fucking game to my account. That's gonna derail me for like a year. The problem is it's Windows only.
So now are you gonna finally fold and build a Windows machine?
I've been pricing out a system for half the day.
See, and this is, I bet you we can go back to another show, and I told you that it was gonna happen inevitably because there was gonna be some game.
The game is so good.
Yeah, and now you've opened Pandora's box, so now you're gonna be able to check out what you've missed out on for like the last, I don't know how long, probably 7 years.
I know what I missed out on. There was that one week period, or week as in like weakness period, for like 10 months where I was just sad and moping and sitting on my ThinkStation just gaming away furiously with you. That's when I started the Mumble server. And I don't think I left my seat for maybe a week at a time.
That's the thing, though, is that you didn't have work really to do back then. Like, you have like a kind of, you know, you do your thing. I don't know exactly
during that time period. That's when I started video production, and that's also when I stopped.
Yeah, I remember you and that stuff.
I sold my iMac. I had it for like a year. It's a confusing time. Anyway,
well, all I gotta say is that it's like I said before, you think of it as like a box, like a appliance.
It's gonna be running SteamOS. It is an appliance,
you know. But that game doesn't run. It's only Windows, though. So you're gonna have to do Windows.
I'm gonna have some little shitty SSD that I plug in just to play that game.
Yeah, but now you're gonna get to check out like Killing Floor 2, like all these other games that are Windows only. So that they have frequent Steam sales for. You can get those games for like $5 to $10.
I'm going to be playing Insurgency, and I'm going to be playing PUBG.
That game? And Quake. Quake is the other one. That's going to be free to play.
All right. Unfortunately, Windows only. PUBG is incredible. you spawn, or you parachute out of a plane onto an island, scavenge for weapons as the map slowly closes around you, closes to a random point on the map, focusing everybody in on each other, while the player count rapidly progresses as the map gets smaller. It's the most dramatic 30 minutes you can have in a game, assuming you even live that long.
Well, and that game is really cool. I just think that my criticisms of it, number one, because right when I was considering buying it, I still am considering getting it. It's just I want to wait for the price to drop. But
I don't care how much. If it was $100, I would still buy it.
The guy that's the developer, like the guy that left the DayZ project, apparently he's a tool and he shoehorned in microtransactions with the newest update. And
I kind of think he should.
Well, they're saying originally they said, oh, well, you can earn all that stuff in game. And now apparently that's not the case. There's going to be locked off stuff. So I just don't trust. And also it's early access. I've been burned. So there's been some games where I've gotten my money's worth totally that I bought in early access, but those were usually around like $10. Like all the games that I've spent $25, $30 on in early access have ended up being busts.
These guys are going to get acquired. Just watch.
Yeah, and then it'll turn to shit. Probably. You know what it is? Also, that game mode is basically, they had that in Grand Theft Auto Online. They had little games, like game areas that you could go to around the entire city. And there was one like that. It's basically King of the Hill is what it is. The closing in map is what makes it different.
Because it kills you. It forces you to do it. Yeah. I've played King of the Hill or like capture the flag type games where you're supposed to, or objective based ones. And the people who join most of those games because of auto queuing, they're retards.
Right.
And you're forced to play with them in a game where you queue together. In a game where you freely join whatever server you want, like old school Counter-Strike, you just jump around between servers. If somebody like that joins your server, you just teleport him into the skybox and you just keep dropping him every time he spawns until he leaves, or you kick him. Somebody else will join and replace him.
Yeah.
Those good old days are gone. With PUBG, I think they run all the servers, but we're back to the golden ages of gaming. You can have like 100 people in a server skydiving out of a plane naked or in their underwear, land into the forest, grab all the weapons, camo, whatever they need. You just pick it up. It's automatically on you, as far as I know.
And, you can host your own dedicated server?
I don't think so. I know. I was watching a stream. That game is extremely fun to watch somebody stream. So if you can see it on Twitch or YouTube gaming, definitely check it out.
I don't have a problem with games that don't let you host dedicated servers, but I think if you're paying $30 for them, the new Quake is going to be like that. Like you can't host servers, but it's free to play, so like you can't really complain about that. It's Quake. If it wasn't for that, there probably would have never been another Quake game. So
I'm going to consider streaming that game.
Yeah, it's cool. It's fun to watch. I think it does get a little tedious at times, though. Like, I was watching Alan play when we were at the LAN. There's scenarios you get in where it's like watching a chess match. It's like there's some... You're prone, waiting in a spot.
Yeah, that's tension.
For some guy to peek his head up.
Yeah. Well, you know he's around the corner and the map is closing in on you.
Yeah, if you're the one playing, that there's tension. But I'm just saying, like, that... Because I was kind of peeking over and watching Alan play that the whole time at the LAN. That part looked very... I don't know. Like... You know what it is? It's like... and then also, it's like when you get... This is just like... I'm not talking about the game specifically. I'm just talking about, like, the... Because there's other games like it that are similar. But I don't like having to wait too. Like you see, let's say you die in the very beginning, then you gotta wait for the entire match to end. You just kind of gotta sit there and wait, and you're gonna find something else to do. there's not enough.
Well, normally your friend dies with you.
It's like if you survive to the end of the game, then I'm sure that's a blast. But if you like die, like, you know, within the first 2 minutes, and then you got to wait like almost like, you know, 30 minutes for the match to end. Or how long does it take for the whole match to close in?
You
just requeue,
but your friend normally dies with you and you exit out. You don't have to wait.
Have you ever seen it where there's two people left and the map's closing in and like it closes in completely and kills both of them?
I watched Chris, who's been on the show, and Qua. They're basically pulling off the last stand in the only cover in an air, and I guess near the military base on the map for people who played. They were sitting there waiting, looking left, right, somebody came around the corner, and they got unlucky and missed one shot that would have been fatal and killed the guy. And he ended up shooting one of them in the face and then the other one in the back before they could turn around and shoot him. And it was a super intense ending to the game. It was like the last 1,000 feet of the island.
Yeah, that's cool.
The map had closed in, and there were 10 people in that area, and just one guy happened to come by to get cover with them and took them both out.
Yeah, that's cool.
And another round, I watched these guys climb into a small building, and there were like two guys that were practically naked with AK-47s hiding in a closet. And everybody got confused as soon as they entered the room, and they're like, wait, why are these guys? Wait, what? And then everybody started shooting, and the other guys lived.
That's funny. Well, that's the other thing too, is like, I think when it comes to shooters, I like fast pace. I like, that's why I like Twitch shooters, you know, it's constant mayhem and you know, giblets flying everywhere, you know. But that game's cool. I don't know. I may get it. I have $10 in Steam credit waiting around. I could put towards that, but I'm going to wait until at least you get it. What are you going to build for a rig? Like, what are you pricing out?
Yeah, I was talking to Roadhouse about that. He was telling me go to Micro Center because they lose money on all their, the CPU and stuff.
Processor and motherboard, yeah.
Yeah. Apparently they have their own PC, like pre-built PC line, which has the same pricing model. So it's a reduced price compared to everything else. And I don't give a fuck. I don't want to build a system. I don't want to diagnose a system. I don't have time for it, and I don't care.
The most reliable setup is always going to be the one that you do yourself, because, or you pay someone to build for you, because
I guess. I mean, mine has been running for 10 years, my server.
Okay, the simplest way I could describe it is like, okay, you buy, I'm not saying Micro Center specifically, but I'm saying like a Dell or an Alienware or something like that, and something goes out on it, like memory's bad, hard drive's bad, you know, CPU overheats, whatever. You don't send just one part back to get RMA'd, like to get fixed. You have to send the whole fucking thing back. And so you're without a machine every time there's an incident like that. Whereas if you, and also you only have like usually a 1 year warranty to cover all that stuff. Whereas if you build the system yourself, you're getting each piece of the hardware having its own separate warranty that's usually 3 to 5 years, depending on what it is. And anytime a specific part fails in it, you could just get that part replaced. And then in the meantime, you could go to the store, pick up something else, put it in, and then you're good to go. Like, I get it if you don't want to have to even do that to begin with. You'd rather just have some solution for you. But you know what you should do? They sell these little mini ITX boxes. Like, they're really small and slim. You get a mini ITX board. What do they call them? Low profile video cards. Like, I think AMD has a couple. I don't know what NVIDIA's equivalent would be. I mean, you're not going to get like a 1080 like that, but you'll get, I think they have like a 9 series, like a 950 or something, which would be more than enough for what you want to play. Although I don't know how optimized is PlayerUnknown.
Enough. I mean, it's not super unoptimized. It looks like it runs pretty good on everybody's system. It's based on Unreal, from what I've heard.
Is it Unreal 4 or
Unreal 4, I think. I don't
Unreal
have any
clue. Unreal 3 is super unoptimized. That engine is not aged well, even though it's a decade old. But Unreal 4 is really good. If it's, you know, if it's coded properly. But I think you're not going to... With a game like that, because it has to... You have the draw distance, and then you have all that stuff that has to be rendered in the background. Otherwise, you can't see. Like, you have to look at, like, little... Like, you have to, like... When you're looking at a scope, you got to be able to see, like, a speck move. You know, like, the top of some guy's head come out of it. So... All that has to be rendered. Like, there's no, you know, what do they call it? Fog, you know, where they blur it out, or like they, like, you know, like you would see on a console game or something like that. So even with an optimized engine running that, you would probably need a decent rig to. And also, doesn't that mean that you're kind of at a disadvantage compared to someone that has a higher spec machine when playing that?
With any game.
Yeah, but especially that game, because...
I don't think you have infinite vision.
Well, it's not even your vision, it's your... I mean, obviously you're not going to be able to hit the target if it's that far either, but... If you're, you know, spending the last 5 minutes of a match sitting there, just looking for something to move like that... At the distance, you're better off probably you're better off with a 4K display.
I'm thinking about it, but then again, I kind of want that high frame rate. But if I'm hitting 60 the whole time, I guess I wouldn't complain.
That game, you don't need 100. You don't need 144 hertz for that game.
I would be happy to get 60 FPS.
You want 144 hertz for games like Quake? That I'm considering when that game goes full launch. I'm considering, and when Unreal Tournament gets updated again, I'll consider getting a 120 or 144 hertz monitor.
All right, here's this. I don't have the specs of the system I want to get, but this is roughly the plan based on what Roadhouse has told me. Micro Center has their own computer brand. They call it PowerSpec.
Yeah, I've heard of it.
So it would be the right price. I could get a lot of computer and... I think a 3-year warranty, so I don't have to give a shit. I can just take the thing and say, these are the problems, they'll take care of it, and I'll go and pick it up when it's done.
Yeah, but you have to wait in fucking line with a bunch of Indians and like old Asian men, like...
Yeah, probably. It'll be like the Apple Store, but at least I'll have a place I can take it without having to ship it through the mail. And somebody else will have to deal with it instead of me.
What you do is...
I can continue working.
It is kind of scammy, but you go, when you have to RMA something, what you do is you send it out, you go to the store, you buy the replacement part, you use that, and then you wait for the replacement to come, and then it's going to come within 30 days, and then you go and return the original part that you bought and say it's not working right.
If I can't play a game for a couple of days, it's a blessing.
Well, then what's wrong with the RMA, the return? I don't want to deal with it, I guess, but...
I can just take the whole thing there and just be like, here's the problem, you fix it. I don't have to worry about thermal grease, I don't have to worry about whether this is compatible with that.
I'm curious what the specs are of that, whatever build you're considering versus...
I want to get like a 7740X.
Oh, you want like an i7 top of the line one?
The new chipset.
Well, they have the i9, they have the i.
Yeah, so it'd be an i7, but the highest clock rate quad core.
Okay.
At least I think that's the highest one. Whatever they have that's the highest clock rate, I will buy, because I want that high clock rate for a single core, so that I can get really high frame rates in Insurgency.
That game you're going to be able to run fine on 5-year-old.
It's four cores. If I can run them at a real high clock rate, it'll benefit every game. because
I just don't think that engine, you're not, it's not, that's not a CPU intensive game at by any means.
Good. It'll just
player unknown will be CPU probably. Games where there's tons of stuff going on the screen, like where there's like MMOs and stuff like that, like WoW, for example, like when you go into a city and there's just people everywhere, like it immediately, your whole machine just comes to like, it just, you can feel it slowing down once that happens. Everything just starts becoming like, you know, not like ridiculously slow, but it's like, you know, enough that you can tell a significant difference from the way it was before. So, and it's always CPU is the limitation there.
Particularly with Steam games or Source Engine games like Insurgency.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm curious. Link me, well, you don't have to do it now, but when you link me the,
they don't have the new chipset yet.
I have to wait. So you're just going to wait for that?
Yeah.
Why don't you look on Newegg? They have pre-built machines on there, too.
They have a I'm near a Micro Center. I can drive to one. I can drive to two, probably.
Yeah, just go in. It's easier. Their website, by the way, is, number one, is garbage. Number two, it goes down all the time. And number three, it fuck up orders. Like, I place, because I go there all the time. Like, when I say I go there 4 or 5 days a week, I'm not kidding. It's at least once, no, it's probably twice every other day. But it's like sometimes twice in 1 day or once 2 days in a row. Wow. And yeah, they like know me in there. I mean, there's so much, because that's like our go-to place. It's the next exit down the freeway, and it's on the way to a lot of our clients. So it's convenient, and they have like, you can't beat their processor and motherboard deals. It's just, I remember I walked out of there with a AMD something board, other board, and a processor for $30. The board and the processor. Cause
yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, the processor was $30, and then if you bundle it with a board, you get $30 off. So you just paid for the board, and the board was like 29 something or 28 something, some cheap ass like AS Rock or I don't even remember. That's like, I think that board, I think the reason I stopped using it was because like two of the USB ports broke off in it. It was just really cheap.
So I'll probably pay around $1,000.
Should be a good rig. I would,
yeah.
To be honest though, I would probably invest a little bit more in the GPU than in the CPU.
I'll be buying another GPU upgrade at some point.
With an i7-7700K, you could just get one of those, overclock that. Or are you talking about the one after Kaby Lake?
The one that is right in line with the i9.
Okay, so the one's coming out like October or something.
Yeah, but I can order those systems from CyberPower.
Yeah, CyberPower is gonna be a lot more money though.
Yeah, compared to Micro Center, is gonna be like $500 more.
And you're gonna get a shitty 1 year warranty with them.
And it was a 1 year warranty. Yeah, it was gonna be a kick ass system though.
I'm telling you though, that's, you're gonna regret that, because
I want the 3 years. I don't want to deal with it.
Oh, okay, so Micro Center gives you 3 years?
I think. I don't know that for 100%. I didn't get a chance to talk to Roadhouse again.
Okay.
He got a phone call. So, we'll see. Let's move on. So, about the net neutrality stuff that I was struggling to improvise and explain on the show, because lack of show notes. Net neutrality is creating, determining what is legal content and everything else is illegal content. That's the short version. That's what the legislation's for.
That's what the end game is. Yeah. Right.
That way websites, services like Google can block content that is not quote unquote legal. Like torrent sites, video streaming sites, information sites like mostvulnerable.com, or sites that have a wall of shame, political content, or anything that you would call fake news. because you don't agree with it. All of that can be blocked.
Yeah. It's, well, and the funny thing is that it's intended, what its stated goals are, is to prevent, you know, restricting or artificially limiting what people can get on the internet and, or segmenting off of it.
Fear, and uncertainty, and doubt.
T-Mobile did that blatantly with their and one Verizon. Plan like a year ago.
That was the selling point.
But it's like, so where were they stepping in after that legislation went into? That just proves to you right there that it's bullshit. It's just about controlling content and controlling what you can see. That's all. It's not about what they say it is, you know.
Defining legal content. That's the ultimate goal.
Yeah. Your podcast is illegal.
Oh, yeah. Podcasts are going to be number one. Fuck those podcasts.
Because you have to get an FCC license for that. Yeah, that... You know what the thing is, though? Is that if that did happen to that extent, the people that are invested in just working with... Like, the people that are interested in maintaining the internet as it is are going to create another solution. And it'll be like another internet that'll come in and replace the one that's policed by the FCC.
You could do that with CJDNS.
That's all you need is just an alternate to DNS.
Well, it's not an alternate to DNS. It's just called CJDNS. It's a layer 2 IPv6 encrypted tunnel system that is distributed and decentralized. So you add somebody else's key, and anybody else that you know, the people that you know can tunnel to them through you and through the web of whoever everybody else knows. And there's a network called Hyperborea where people share their keys and can route traffic to internal services that are only available on CJDNS, and they just bounce between each other. And I've actually experimented with stuff with Tugger when we were doing Tugger hosting, and with the Mumble server that we set up running on CJDNS, it was 10 milliseconds faster to connect to that, which doesn't make any sense at all to me, but everywhere I Google, we see that. I don't know why, but it's lower latency. Which is very, very strange. We've got like an internal wiki with some notes and mostly to keep track of who's where. Because when you're dealing with IPv6 addresses, they're these really long hex values. They're not just numbers that any human being could memorize. They're hex, so they're unintelligible by anybody except for a fucking robot.
Right.
IPv6.
Yeah, you
sucks.
Can't remember them. IPv6 just makes... Yeah, it's
a jobs program for network engineers or people who like to call themselves quote unquote engineers.
Yeah.
It professionalizes that job. Because it's so fucking complicated, you have to be a with sarcastic finger quotes, a doctor to be able to explain it.
What's irritating about it is they want you to fucking know it for all of the Windows certification stuff too.
Yeah,
and it's like,
Cisco.
But it's like, okay, you could be a Microsoft certified expert in Windows Server, like. I get the reasoning for like the basic understanding of IPv6 just in case there was a company that wanted you to use that instead of IPv4, because I'm sure there's some fucking, you know, OCD controlling business owner that reads up on shit. Oh, IPv6, the future, let's use that, you know.
Except none of their software would work. It would break in weird ways. they would have some obscure database software that needs a network server, and little would they know, there's no more NAT with IPv6, so they would all be exposed to the internet along with their database, and naturally their old piece of shit software wouldn't work.
Yeah, I don't know, but I don't want to have to deal with that and learn it.
Yeah, you don't have to. The only people that deal with it on a regular basis are telecommunications businesses, where they have...
I want to have a career in continuing doing sysadmin stuff, and I need to, but...
Time will tell.
I have no interest in it. It's... That's one of the funny things about, like, working in IT, is, like, you're forced to do things, like, you, even if you have, like, a passion in doing something that's IT related, you're only going to probably end up doing that 10% of the time. It's all the other bullshit that you don't want to do that you end up having to do.
Yeah. Wiping people's ass.
Yeah. You know what though? I don't mind dealing with customers. I would rather do that, 'cause that makes the day go by faster. I don't like doing installations. It's fucking manual labor, and it's then after the manual labor is configuration, and so it's like the worst of both. Both, you know, but if I go to, you know, someone's house to like fix their network, you know, that's 9 times out of 10 that's going to be really easy to fix. But if I'm doing like a huge setup for an office building or something like that, it's like, I fuck that. Like, it's, yeah, it makes the day go by fast, 'cause you're slaving away doing that the whole day, but it's like the worst aspect of IT work, in my opinion. I would rather subcontract that work out, pay someone else to do that shit, and then I just pay them to get the stuff online, and then I'll just do everything else remotely. Like, finish everything up remotely.
Yeah, I like dealing with the servers, because they don't talk back. Sometimes I like to go on site to do an install. It's kind of the opposite of you. I'd prefer not to.
Well, if it's something basic and simple, then it's not a problem. You know, like setting up a unified access point, where I just kind of tie it into our controller.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Like, I like that kind of stuff. That's fine. It's when I got to set up a switch with VLANs and that kind of shit. It's, you know, and then you got to, you know, you just kind of started working with Windows Server, right?
I just touched one recently because I needed to, but no.
I thought you were doing some, like managing roles and stuff like that.
I had to fix something a while back, yeah.
Okay. Like, there's some aspects of Windows, working with Windows Server, that I like a lot. Like, I like working with group policy stuff, because you can kind of like, you can kind of create own, you know, you can create your own like vision of how you want everything to work on a network and all the Windows machines that connect to it. That stuff's cool. I do not like having to get drivers and install printers and set up the fucking print server. I don't like it. Like, that stuff is just, I don't know. It's monotonous. Yeah. It's just tedious and boring. Like, and, you know, or even deploying a server with, although I like setting it up through PowerShell. Like, I kind of know how to deploy a server now through PowerShell commands, but you can't do any Active Directory administration through it. I've tried watching some videos, and like, the amount of, like, these guys that are, like, PowerShell experts, I do not know how they fucking absorb that much, like, how they know these fucking commands. Like,
they don't. Yeah, they're reading the script.
You have help commandlets and stuff like that, but, you know, like, get dash command, you know, whatever. But you're not gonna learn, you're not gonna absorb all of that stuff just where you can just think of it and type it out. Like, you're always going to have to use those.
Yeah, it's too verbose.
Yeah, but it's really, you can do so much stuff with it. You can automate
once
so much.
Once you script it out, yeah.
Yeah, with through the ISC, yeah. Yeah, it's
you can automate your job away. You just go for an hour, sit there for 5 minutes.
Create scripts. And most of the time, it works better setting it up through the fucking PowerShell than it does through the GUI. If you do it right, if you get the commands right and stuff,
you're less prone to make a mistake.
It's on Rails. It's like you enter a command and then everything's done. It's like you don't have to go in and like add and check extra boxes for the management tools and like the other extra features. You know, what else was I going to say? Did you finish your beer already?
Those guys are fucked!
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I did.
Did you finish your beer? Okay. I'm almost done with mine. I'm being summoned, though, so I gotta go in a minute.
Alright. Let's end it there.
Okay.
Real quick, on my gripe about cyber.
Cyber.
If you go back to the Iraq and Afghanistan war, it was called electronic warfare. Now it's ASL. So bringyourwallet.com/contact for feedback and suggestions. bringyourwallet.com/support to share the show. Tell your friends. Donate. See you next week.
Sayonara.
Oh, those guys are fucked.
That's fantastic.